Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome in to MLS Six Pack here on the SDH Network. I'm Madison Cruz. We got a three-way dance with all of us here today. We have Jason Longshore, one of the voices of Atlanta United, and then we have Jarrett Smith joining us as well as we recap the absolute chaos that is Major League Soccer. What's up, guys?
Jarrett Smith is also one of the voices of chaos, so it fits.
Also yeah. One of the voices of chaos.
If I can find it, I'm going to drag it kicking and screaming. So, yes, correct.
All residents of chaos, we all enjoy it. Everything's phenomenal. But speaking of chaos, this week was a little chaotic in many different ways. Before we get into our thoughts on last weekend, I want to talk about a big piece of news that did drop this week. CF Montreal parted ways with Laurent Courtois after, I believe, six games on the road.
Didn't even get to game six on the road. Montreal is drunk and stupid. I think it's a horrible decision because Laurent Courtois has not had the weapons to actually put up a good fight. Somehow he did. He got that team into the playoffs last year when they had no business being in the playoffs. And you're starting with six games on the road this season because the Big O is doing some renovations and Stade Saputo, I guess they were worried about it being frozen, although I think he probably could have played in Montreal. I haven't checked the weather there these past couple of weeks, but I would think maybe you could have dealt with it. I don't know. Welcome to CF Montreal. It is always dumb, and it shouldn't be, and it is. And it's really, really frustrating because they've never gotten it right except for like 1 year where they brought in Didier Drogba, and he still had functioning knees. And they had Nacho Piatti, who's one of the best signings in league history. And it was a lot of fun. And it's been pretty much really crappy, too much gravy on the poutine ever since.
Yeah, never forget as well that 1 year they forgot how to measure an 18-yard box.
Oh, there's that. Yeah.
Maddie, you seem surprised by this. So quick story time. The Eastern Conference Final that year was Toronto and Montreal, which was super important, super fun at the time because Toronto, take away those couple of years where Toronto was competing for titles, Toronto has been kind of a failure pile and a sadness bowl their entire existence. And they put it together with Greg Vanney, but Montreal did as well. Eastern Conference Final was two legs. It was Montreal and Toronto. It was a blast. They played it in Olympic Stadium, which is where the Montreal Expos used to play. They drew the lines for the field, and the 18-yard box was not 18 yards. Like, it wasn't even close. They had to, like, delay the game to redraw the 18-yard box because I don't know if they were measuring in cubits instead of feet. I don't know. But that was – also, that entire tie, 180 minutes of it, all of it was drunk, and it was a really fun series.
Yeah, it's one, go back and watch. I think they did a package on that Eastern Conference Final, and it was incredible. Maybe the best that the league's ever had. And that's the high watermark for CF Montreal. When they shouldn't have even changed the name, it should be the Montreal Impact.
Yeah.
Man, I'm mad about this.
And to Jason's point, like, at this point, like, I know there were, I think it was Matt Doyle dropped that there were rumors that there was a lot of friction in the locker room between Laurent Courtois and players, but saying that after the fact is such an easy throwaway thing,
yeah.
I think, when a manager's been fired. But it's not even like a thing where, like, well, he's got rid of him for that reason. Like, Joey Saputo has operated on a level that makes knee-jerk reactions look well thought out for so long at this point that it's really hard to hold it against any Montreal fan who has zero faith in what's going on up there, because it's just been this constant, oh, we got a manager, we have a roster, we made the playoffs, oh, that's fun, now what? Well, we struggled on the road because we have to play our first few games on the road, otherwise teams have to go through the Northwest Passage to get here, and it's still frozen. We struggled on the road out of the gate. Well, it looks like we're firing the manager. It's not exactly what I want at this moment. Someone got it at some point, has to take the control away from Joey Saputo. As the problem is he's in charge, so there is no one above him who can take that controller away from him.
I feel so bad for Montreal fans because I think in the times that we've been in Montreal for matches, the fan base is so intelligent. It's such
my
a passionate
away
fan
day.
Base. Definitely my favorite away day as well. It's a wonderful little stadium that, yeah, they probably need to expand a little bit so they can make more money. Okay, work on that. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Firing managers on a regular basis. It's just frustrating because Montreal could be such a great club in this league. It's such a great soccer city, and it just hasn't been served well, and it's very frustrating. For me, as just a fan of the league, I can't even imagine for a Montreal fan. It should be better. They shouldn't have moved on from Laurent Courtois. I think when you got the anonymous survey of sporting directors around the league, and Courtois is one of the highest, like most, I think they said underrated managers in the league. Mm-hmm. He got as many votes as anybody. Very well-respected guy who I think did as much as he could with that group, and it's not on him. Whoever takes it permanently moving on is not going to have it any better. And we're just going to do the rinse and repeat once again here at some point when Joey Saputo wakes up and decides to fire his manager again that day.
For me, it's also too, like, even if Matt Doyle did say there was tension, I mean, God,
always tension.
There's always tension. I mean, also
tension when you're losing too.
It's four games lost. Literally, this is it. Lost to Atlanta 3-2, lost to Minnesota 1-0, lost to Vancouver 2-0. Tied DC United 0-0, then you lost to Nashville 3-0. Of course, there's going to be tension in the locker room.
You haven't been home.
Not winning. You haven't been home either. Like, tensions are going to rise. It might have been one game. Maybe they just had like a moment. It happens. Like, that for me, I'm like, that's no reason to fire a coach that has gotten you to a wild card game and arguably has looked better than you guys have looked in the last couple of years. I've said it before. I love the way that he develops talent. I mean, you look at what he did with Columbus Crew and MLS Next Pro, and you look what he did there. You know, took them to a championship and then took them to the championship, unless then they lost to Austin too, but went to back-to-back championships in MLS Next Pro. That's hard. Like for me, it's like, and then coming into MLS and the first like year he's in MLS, he takes them to a wild card game. That's unheard of. Like for me, I think it's a stupid decision. I think it's really, really dumb on Montreal's part. And I think it's really going to hurt them throughout the rest of the season. You know what? And you know, they're playing Chicago. Maybe it's the new coach head bump. Like, they'll go in.
Not against Chicago. It's not.
But I don't think it's against Chicago.
Fighting Greggs, baby.
The fighting Berhalters.
So I think it's a stupid decision. I don't like it. It makes me mad because I really like Laurent Courtois, and wherever he goes, I hope that he does so well and he just, you know, shoves it in everyone's face, because I really love him as a head coach. I really do.
Laurent, please don't go to the insanity, even more insanity that is Ligue 1 or the second division in France. Like, stay away, because that's even more ridiculous than what you just dealt with. Wait and get a good opportunity, because he will get it and he will do well if he's backed by ownership with, I don't know, some actual functioning rosters to work with.
Well, and to build on that, I mean, the question is now, like, what does Montreal do next? Will they put an interim in place? I'm like, good luck getting somebody, because Joey Saputo is operating on such a knee-jerk level at this point.
I think you've already went through pretty much every Montreal Impact legend that you had that you could give it to. You've already burned Biello. You've already burned DeSantis. I mean, you everybody that was a star for that team going back to the days when they're playing the Atlanta Ruckus at Adams Stadium, North Druid Hills Drive here. You know, like, there's nobody else. So you're going to get somebody who is desperate, and it's going to be bad.
Yeah, anybody who has, like, an idea and who has, like, plans they're not going to be interested in this. They're not going to want to put up with Joey Saputo's BS is the problem. It's a crappy situation for the fans to have to deal with, and Joey Saputo has kind of made his bed at this point, and there's so many needles in that bed, you're just kind of wondering why he doesn't sleep standing up.
Well, you mentioned it, Maddie. They go to Chicago next, and I believe we have a little bit of intel on the Chicago Fire.
We do, in fact, have a little bit of intel. It was really, really fun. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to catch up with Joe Chats. He is of On Tap Sportsnet there in Chicago. We talked a little bit just about Chicago. We talked about them beating Vancouver, the top of the Western Conference, beating them 3-1, and then now getting to go back home and face a very, very depleted and kind of in a rut CF Montreal. It was a really, really fun conversation, and you'll get to hear it in the next couple minutes.
Bases dropped on a new week of soccer down here.
Be amazing. I'm just saying, 90 minutes compelling content. It's non-stop entertainment.
Kodai Tanaka, what a save! Kodai Tanaka cleans it up! And Kodai Tanaka says goodnight!
Right. He's back to the left, he's back to the right, he's back to the left, plays it off. Goal! Goal!
Goal! Able to slip it through, he's gonna find it, and it's in!
Gajardo with the left! Puts in the cross over the head of Carlton. It falls to him anyway. Right-footed shot! Goal! 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 Atlanta United 2! And they take the 4-3 lead!
Alrighty, everyone. I am joined with Joe Chats of On Tap Sportsnet. They're in Chicago. Joe, thank you so much for joining us here on MLS Six Pack.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I just need a six pack at this point.
Listen, don't we all? Don't we all?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe not from a car, but like other than
that,
yes.
No, that'll be later when you get home. Then you
Of course. Responsibly, everybody. Be responsible, of course. This is how we should start everything. Yeah, just don't be an idiot, guys.
Don't be an idiot. Go home, have a six pack, then watch MLS. That's what you got
to
do.
Exactly. Great way to introduce myself to your audience.
Hey, it's the beauty of it. Beauty of it all. But one thing it was cool, actually, is you actually just got done chatting with Greg Berhalter at Chicago in media today. What were the conversations like there today?
Couple things. So the big headliner of the day is that Brian Gutierrez is going to be out for their match against CF Montreal. He suffered from muscular discomfort is how the USMNT described it. And so he missed out on that third place game against Canada. I guess that's kind of for the better, whatever you want to say. But so he's going to be out. So that was a big talking point. Kellen Acosta's availability. He suffered an injury in Dallas. We'll see. He seems like more of a bench option at this point. And then general talking points, you know, the team's been playing well, three straight wins on the road, but you're playing a CF Montreal side that just fired their coach because they're CF Montreal, not because they do things logically. Laurent Courtois is a great coach, honestly. He's a bit of a yeller for me, but it's clear that they were a good team. So Greg definitely said some interesting things about that. And he told me personally the day before, like, I was surprised by this because the big fear for Chicago Fire fans this weekend is this just feels like such a trap game. And for a team that's trying to reestablish an identity is a real team in MLS and not the team it's been recently. A result against Montreal at home would be massive for this side's confidence, even though they have the expectation for 3 points.
Yeah. Listen, I'm echoing your sentiment as well. I was very upset when I saw that Laurent Courtois was fired because they were my dark horse the entire season went. He is such a phenomenal coach, and I was really excited to see what they could do. I feel like it's a little bit of like too early to even think about it. Like, you had six games on the road. It's like,
exactly. You sound like Greg. That's exactly what he said. And it's just like, how are you going to judge this? A little scary. And just, you've got a guy who won with Crew 2 and then made Montreal relevant, which is all they can really be at this point until they actually develop an academy. So like, I thought he did a great job.
Yeah. Which, speaking of Greg, what did he say about Montreal, especially going into this match on Saturday? What were some of the things he's highlighted, especially with how they play and how Chicago can come out with a result?
So basically, it was the idea of ignore their goal total. If you go more to their goal chances, they've had a lot. It's just they've not been able to score. They've had to deal with the post, and they've been playing good teams, and they've not really been at home. So there's a lot of reasons why they haven't scored yet. So that was a big talking point, is really understanding that defensive cohesion. And this is going to be one of the first matches, or first times where it's consecutive matches, it appears, with the same back four. It looks like it'll be Leo Barroso at right back, Jack Elliott and Sam Rogers at center back, unless maybe Carlos Toron slides back in there, and then Andrew Gutman at left back. So that's a massive thing for the Fire, because they still don't have a clean sheet this year. So just to have that kind of cohesion was big, but also understanding that this is one of those games in MLS where you can't take your foot off the gas pedal at all, or else you will end up losing 3-0 at home, and then you're embarrassed and understand, you know, everyone's going to say the same old Chicago Fire. So this is kind of a litmus test this week for the entire club. That's what Greg said. And it's really, they understand the quality of Montreal's squad. They've got it all. I mean, the Fire beat them through, you know, the sheer help of God last year. Just still the funniest goal I've ever seen. Like, it's I was watching the replays this week because they put it out on socials, and it remains the funniest thing. And Ariel Lassiter got traded to the team last year after being on the wrong side of that, and I talked to him, I think it was September, and he was still mad about it. Just, he's like, I don't think I'll ever get over that because it's so ridiculous. So there's going to be a lot of people in that Montreal side that are really going to want to get a result. And Fabian Herber is making his return to the Chicago Fire, playing against Chicago Fire. Like, there's a lot of reasons why that team is going to want to get a result on the road. So the Fire, if they take their foot off the gas pedal, they'll be down 3-0 in 15 minutes against the Montreal side.
You can't do that. The Montreal's dangerous in how they can just come at the way it happened to Atlanta. It happened in the first game of the season. You know, we had all the momentum going into halftime, and then they came back in. They were able to score. It's Montreal's a scary side, especially when you face them. But with all those storylines like intermixed, what's like the vibe? What was the vibe at training? Like, what was the vibe seeing everyone there? Everyone excited, hyped up for this game, especially after beating the number one Western Conference in Vancouver Whitecaps last week?
Yeah, this is, I mean, I've been covering the team. This might be my third full season. Last two were not pleasant. So, like, they've never been this confident since I've been doing it, and it's only 5 games in, right? So there is a real shift in the building. But the expectation is, you know, another win. They want to win. They want to consistently win. And they understand that it's, like, you look at the attacking room, right? You've got Hugo Kuypers starting off wonderfully. He has been what the Fire needed him to be when he's their club record signing, understanding that he needs to get those chances in front of goal, right? Like, if you look at his numbers, I think he's 5 goals, and it's 4.8 or 4.9 expected goals this year. So the understanding is that, okay, he's lifted off. So Jonathan Bamba is the other guy, Joe Bamba, I guess, is the other guy who did press today. And he was also saying, you know, I want to get to that level. We're seeing that success on the field, but now I want to get to that personal level of success as well. Philip Zinkernagel got a goal and an assist last week. He really, that was a big thing for him. Get on the score sheet. You can see the confidence level rising. So it's another reason why everyone is kind of saying you cannot let your foot off the gas pedal against this Montreal side, because there's been so much positive momentum built that they don't want to lose it. But there is still that understanding that this is not a joke of a game. And I feel like a lot of people on the outside just don't understand how good this Montreal team is. And it seems like the Fire do.
You look at it too, especially with them firing their head coach. Now people are like, oh, you know, like, well, here it is. The foundation's still there, especially with the interim coming in. Like, it's all still there. So they're still very, very dangerous in what they want to do. But I want to talk about Berhalter, especially with him coming in, new head coach for the Fire. How have you seen the players buy in to what Greg Berhalter wants to do with this squad and with this team?
There wasn't really a choice, right? You had to buy in or you're going to get shipped out. It's as simple as that. There was going to be a shift when you get the head coach also as the director of football. It's going to go to a different level. Frank Lopas, one of my favorite people, was not fit for the role by the end of it. It just didn't work with him as Fire coach. He's got a new role in the organization where I think he'll thrive. And he had success in his own right in Montreal, but just at this time with the Fire, didn't work out. So it is a very serious building. When you're in there, people are there to work at the training center. People are there to be there, to be serious. We are there to work, enjoy, and get better every day. There is a level of heightened pressure, yes, but it's also your professional athletes, right? You kind of have to do these things. And there's a couple guys who are in contract years. There's a couple guys who have been rumored to be moved for multiple windows. So it's a matter of, can you prove yourselves? That one of the biggest stories in the early part of the season has been the emergence of Sergio Orjel Jr. He was a homegrown guy who made his debut in, I believe, 2022. Doesn't make an appearance in MLS the last 2 years. And he had a slow start in the season opener against Columbus, on the road against Columbus. It's a pretty hard place to start your MLS career or revamp your MLS career, but he's been an emerging prospect. And just, I think that's part of the pressure that's been put in, is take those risks. We're okay with taking those risks. Just, it needs to be from an informed soccer view. And it seems like everyone is just taking it maybe a bit more seriously. I don't know if that's a fair way of describing it, right? Not that people were obviously taking it seriously in the past, but there is just an expectation of a floor that this franchise hasn't had for a few years.
I have to ask, did someone ask Greg about the Berhalter Bowl last weekend?
Didn't ask about the Berhalter Bowl? I mean, they asked pregame. They made him ask. They asked him on SiriusXM yesterday. I asked him in the post-match because I told him that was the only time I was going to ask. So what I got from that was, so pre-match, Greg was really worried, like, how do I handle this? Like, this is my son. I want to see him have success, but also want to see us have success, right? Like, come on, it's a pretty good narrative, too. You're going against an unbeaten team, depleted because of the international break. Like, there were a lot of reasons to be confident going into that. And the result, I think we all saw the picture where Greg's smiling and Sebastian's not as they're hugging. And that is the appropriate way to describe how that game went. And so it was a great event for them and their family. He had fun, but I think it would have been a different tone if they hadn't won. So it was a very fun thing. You're not going to get that often, especially that first time. It was really cool to see. And I know the joy my parents have from just being, you know, at dinner randomly. So, like, just to see those types of things. It's not really about soccer, so it was fun to watch. And apparently their whole family was there. And Greg mentioned the restaurant they went to. And, oh, boy, was it a nice place to go to. If you want to find it, I'm sure you can go digging. But I'll just leave it at that. And he joked about Sebastian Pang, which, I hope not.
Well, especially in Chicago, some very nice places up there.
This was in Vancouver, which is even nicer in a lot of ways.
Yes. Oh yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. That's a global city in a lot of ways. I mean, Chicago, I love my city. I love this place, but Vancouver's another level.
Oh yeah. That's the one trip I want to make at some point in my
career. You and me both.
I want to go up there and I want to cover it. I just feel like it'd be so pretty going up to Vancouver.
Everything's pretty except BC Place and the crap turf they play on, but yeah.
Hey, you win some, you lose some. You know?
Exactly.
I want to ask you, looking at MLS as a whole for this weekend, besides the Chicago game, are there any other games that you're going to be tuning into this weekend?
Oh, that's a great question. So me personally, so I'm just like going through my schedule. I have to cover NWSL on Sunday and Fire 2 on Sunday. So I'm just, excuse me for being this guy. I have to pull up the schedule and make sure I am not forgetting anything.
You have to, and it's all good.
Thank you. If you're filibustering for me for a slight moment so I can make sure. Okay, here was my one game that isn't Philadelphia Inter Miami that I'm actually very curious about. Sorry, it's not going to be Atlanta, but DC United against Columbus. Early season game, but it's at DC United. I feel like the old crew teams would win this 3-0. Like, it's nothing, yeah. Right? And I think this DC United team, it's another one of these DC United teams that's going to be super annoying to play against all year. And when you have a crew team that's still evolving, still dealing with a lot of players who are on international duty, I feel like this is kind of a trap game that they could end up losing badly. Yeah. And you know how the Benteke thing is. It could be, he can go from 0 to 105 seconds. He's a pain to deal with. Talk to any center back about going against him. They will shake their heads, even if they had a good game, because they're exhausted. So that is my fun game, because, yeah, Atlanta's fun. Sorry, but I wasn't going to pick that. I actually do think Philadelphia Inter Miami is a great game, but I don't work for MLS, so I'm not going to use that one.
Well, the one for me that sticks out, which You did not have to say Atlanta. That one is one that definitely I'm watching because we'll obviously be there covering the match. But definitely one I'm interested to see how Nashville and Cincinnati plays out, because Cincinnati is kind of coming off of the 2-2 draw against us. And then, you know, Nashville is coming off of a pretty decent stretch right now. They're kind of finding their rhythm. We'll see. I think a lot of fun action this weekend.
So I don't know if you can still hear me, but I totally missed that entire soliloquy from you because I just got a phone call and I'm sorry. So I'm just going to leave and come right back quickly for that because I don't know how to fix this.
Absolutely. You're good. No worries.
All right. We're just doing audio. I'm sorry. I'm going to yell at Alex later. If anybody would like to blame someone, that it was Alex Calabrese calling me. I think he's at AM Calabrese 12 on Twitter and Blue Sky. Feel free to just harass him for interrupting this interview as Madison was making a fabulous point that I completely missed because of him in my audio.
I appreciate it. I'll recap just real quickly.
Thank you.
The one for me that I'm watching for is definitely Nashville and Cincy. That one's the one that I feel like could go either way because Nashville's found more momentum. But Cincinnati is coming off this 2-2 draw against us. We'll see. I'm interested in that one. I'm circling it.
Yeah, and Nashville is going to be an interesting team because they have all the pieces. Can they put it all together? And is BJ Callahan the right coach? That's going to be a big thing throughout the year. He's got a lot to prove as a first-year coach in MLS. But I'm enjoying the Cincinnati team, at least watching them. They're a lot of fun. Yeah. Evander's kind of slid in there pretty well. It's going to take him time to really be the best version of himself. But they're another team that's just so hard to break down and break down a lot that they're such a pain to deal with. So like when you say Nashville going against them, it's another one of those games where I'm expecting some MLS to happen. It's going to be bonkers. And it's a great pick because there's just going to be high quality soccer, but there's so much mind games that go into it as well when those two teams face off.
Oof. It's going to be a fun weekend of MLS. That is for sure.
Yes, it is. Well,
before I let you go, let's go ahead and let you cut the promo. Where can people find you? What can they find you on? And what can they expect for Saturday's match against Chicago?
Well, you can find me at OnTap Sportsnet here in Chicago. Just Google Joe Chats. There's only so many things that'll come up that aren't me. At Joe Chats on the socials, at Joe Chats Sports on Instagram. I don't really post things with my face other than recaps, so enjoy that. But expectations for Saturday, it really comes down to really the first 15 minutes. If the Fire can get through that without conceding something stupid and get into halftime with, you know, a good amount of possession with minimal mistakes, I expect them to at least get a point. But it's kind of one of those games where I would predict 2-0 Fire simply because, you know, you're going one way, one team's going one way, one team's going the other way. But just new manager bump, the chaos of not really knowing who the manager's tactics, because he's only really coached in Serie C, which is so funny in a lot of ways. What a ridiculous league. If anybody ever follows Serie C, there's just some bonkers stuff that goes on. Go Triestina. But this game really should be one of those 2-0, 2-1 Fire wins. But if it comes back 2-1 Montreal, there will be a mistake in there that you're like, oh, yeah, that's more of a classic Chicago Fire mistake.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, thank you so much again for taking the time for coming on to MLS Six Pack. And hey, good luck again on Saturday.
Oh, well, thank you. It's going to be a fun time. You know, I don't care about the results really, other than I like chaos and I like fun. So it's going to be interesting and I'll be inside, so I won't be getting rained on. So I'll be smiling.
Faces dropped on a new week of soccer down here.
Amazing. I'm just saying, 90 minutes compelling content. It's non-stop entertainment.
Kodai Tanaka, what a save! Kodai Tanaka cleans it up! And Kodai Tanaka says goodnight!
Right. He's back to the left, he's back to the right, he's back to the left, plays it off. Goal! Goal!
Able to slip it through, is going to find it, and it's in!
Gajardo with the left! Puts in the cross over the head of Carlton. It falls to him anyway. Right-footed shot! Goal! Atlanta United 2!
once again want to thank Joe Chats for taking the time to chat with me, talking about Chicago Fire. And as we lead into this weekend of MLS Six Pack, let's get ready for the matches that we have this weekend. Up next, we got two games at 2:30, kind of ones where you might want to be doing something else, maybe yard work, maybe at the pool, doing something else, because it's New England Revolution hosting the New York Red Bulls and then Toronto hosting the Vancouver Whitecaps.
I like the road teams.
Yeah. Road teams are great.
I am intrigued by the road potential for wins here and what that could look like. But New England, look, you're starting to see people who have known things in the past tweet things that are alluding to things that might mean that there's a lot of pressure on this game. It's all talk at the moment, but the Revs have not had a good start, and the Red Bulls are coming to town, and I don't necessarily see the Revs having a get-right game here.
No. No. Jared just shakes his head. There's no comment to that.
There's nothing else to add to it. Caleb Porter might be on, like, you know, sign in the yard watch.
Yeah.
And Toronto is just – I still don't – I'm going to go through all 25 not knowing if Robin Fraser is a great manager or not, or even a good manager, because what he's been handed in Toronto is just this spoiled, left out in the sun all day jar of poutine. And it's a tough situation for any manager to have to deal with while Toronto tries to kind of right the ship. And at this point, righting the ship might mean sinking it and filing the insurance fraud.
Well, they brought Lorenzo Insigne back. He played and did all right. So I don't know, maybe. But yeah. Vancouver, I think for me, the story in these two is I want to see how the Whitecaps bounce back after a loss, after a great start. They've got CONCACAF to look ahead to. So is that going to be a distraction this week in Toronto? We'll find out.
Moving on, we only have one game at 4:30. That is going to be the Colorado Rapids hosting Charlotte FC.
Rapids got to bounce back after a bad loss to Portland. Charlotte on the road in Colorado, where it can be a difficult place to play because of the altitude. Charlotte's way of playing will help them, although the long balls might end up in Wyoming if they're not careful.
You can't accurately weight those long balls early in the game. You just can't. It's not like a they suck thing. The air is so thin when you hit that long ball, it's not going to do what you expect.
Yeah, you might hit a few prairie dogs infected with the plague, so be careful with that ball coming back into play. Got to watch out for that. But I think Charlotte's style of playing will help them in this one. It really feels like a draw to me.
It feels like a draw, and it's a weird one. I think if it was anyone other than Colorado, I would think it would be a very interesting, like, this is a watermark to see what Charlotte can be, because everyone has talked them up. They made a hell of a statement last week with a 4-1 dismantling of San Jose, where the early part of that game, like, if you go look at the early part of that game, San Jose peppered the hell out of them but didn't break through. Charlotte got one and kind of has that old school Nashville vibe of if they get one, it just starts rolling.
Yeah.
Yeah, that one for me, I picked Colorado. I think Colorado is going to come away with it. I'm interested to see how Charlotte can bounce on the road. I think this is their first big, big road test. And if they can handle it, you drew against Seattle. You got a own goal that kind of helped you out there.
I think it's their first big road test with expectation.
Yes.
I would put it.
I would agree.
It was weird.
Go up and
like Seattle, you didn't really know. And it's easy to go on the road where you're the unknown. But now, I mean, you got people really talking Charlotte up as a team that can play with Miami and potentially win the East. Okay. Well, if you're that team, you got to go to Colorado and win.
Yeah, and
Chris
Armas
will be ready for you.
And Inter Miami as well. You look back at that game that they had. Inter Miami came away with the 1-0 victory down 10 men.
Yeah.
70 minutes.
I know.
That's my thing. I think it's going to be a true test to see how Charlotte can deal with the pressure that they're already getting from everyone, I think, in the league, talking and hyping them up, but going on the road and facing Colorado Rapids, which, again, I think that they're my white horse. I want them to do very well. I think they'll be really good. I hope.
Are they your earthquakes?
Yes.
What the earthquakes are to me.
Yes. I think don't so. Really, I really dislike them.
Don't
I really
fall like into this darkness like I have.
Listen, we're already there. We're already there, Jarrett, unfortunately.
I can't help you. Anyway, carry
there's
on.
There's a couple games. There's three games at 7:30. We'll circle back to Atlanta versus NYC, but that game is at 7:30. We'll circle back. We'll talk about that later. DC United hosting Columbus Crew, and then also at 7:30, we have Inter Miami hosting Philadelphia Union.
Real quick on Columbus, I think what Wilfred Nancy is doing this year is one of his best coaching jobs, and that's including a season in Montreal where he didn't strangle Joey Saputo, which deserves to be in the Hall of Fame just for that. Second, you know, like this is a group that doesn't have as many weapons as they've had in the past, and they're battling and they're still playing true to their style. It's really impressive. DC, we know what DC brings. It's Christian Benteke winning every aerial duel known to man. Columbus is going to have to be ready to deal with that. I don't know if they get the win on the road in this one, but I think they don't lose it. The Miami-Philly game's fascinating because Miami's looking ahead to play an LAFC in CONCACAF middle of next week. Philly is another one in the East who's trying to prove themselves. Can they go on the road to Fort Lauderdale and play their game and be disruptive against Miami? And then for Miami, it's always a question mark when you've got other competitions going on. How much do the Super Friends play in this one? And we don't know yet.
No, I agree. It's how combative can Philly be with Miami? One of my questions, Jason, is, and I thought we were going to see it against Atlanta. I think there were moments where it wasn't the entire second half, but there were moments where those legs looked tired against Atlanta.
Yep.
Those legs are going to get real tired for Miami because the Super Friends are logging a lot of minutes early in the season.
They are.
And they can do that. Part of getting old, though, is that you don't bounce back. The elasticity in your rubber band is not as intense as it used to be. There's going to come a time where they're just going to have to start resting guys. And even when they're out there, they're just not going to be able to give everything they can.
Yeah.
At this point, I don't know when that is, and I can't predict it because I feel like I'm going to look like a fool doing it. I don't necessarily know if it's this game, because I think it will be interesting to see how Miami deals with it, because as much flack as your new manager got with Argentine national team fans cheering that their youth national team coach was leaving because they thought he was bad, he's done a hell of a managerial job so far.
He's been great. I love what he's done with that team defensively. I mean, they're aggressive defensively. They're doing all the right things. I talked about it throughout the game with Miami. Luis Suarez taking away the six. Messi picking his spots to press. I mean, you're just giving them a couple of cues and you're organizing everything else around it. It's been really impressive from Javier Mascherano. And, you know, when we talk about managers, some guys are cut out to be a club manager day to day where they can work and get into the nitty gritty with a team. Some are cut out to be national team managers where it's more about man management. It's more about setting up 1v1s and basic stuff along those lines. And it looks like Mascherano is really taken to the club game, and he's getting a ton out of this Miami team. They've looked better than they did last season, in my opinion. Now, can they maintain it? That's the part we don't know. We're just going to have to wait and find out.
It'll be fun. It'll be a fun time. Moving on to the 8:30 games. We have four of them. Starting up, we have Chicago hosting Montreal.
Chicago wins.
Guys who were great club. Speaking of guys who were great club managers but may not have been great national team managers.
Yeah, better national team manager than he got credit for. But, yes,
I think he's a better club manager.
Yeah, and Chicago wins. We don't even have to keep going on that.
All right. Then we got Dallas hosting Sporting Kansas City.
Dallas wins. Lucho Acosta scores. He gets into the 75-75 club. I think one of six or seven guys to do that. 75 goals, 75 assists in MLS. He's got 74 goals right now.
The cries for Peter Vermes' head grow louder, and the worst part for Sporting Kansas City is that they're not even angry anymore. They're apathetic, which I swear to God is worse.
Yeah, it's much worse, and I don't think it gets any better this week.
Nope. All right, at another 8:30 game, we have Minnesota hosting Salt Lake.
I still don't know what to think about Minnesota. I don't know what to think
about Salt Lake.
Yeah, same. I have higher hopes for Salt Lake because I think Diego Luna could break down a brick wall with his bare hands and enjoy it. So at least I have something to lean into with RSL. Minnesota, I just don't quite know yet. And they're at home. I mean, it's an opportunity for These are two teams that I think coming into the year, a lot of people kind of had roughly around the same level. Do they separate this week or is it a draw? I don't know.
Moving on, last game of the 8:30 p.m. hour. This one I'm actually watching for because I'm really intrigued about it. Yep. Nashville hosting Cincinnati.
No idea what to do with either one of these teams right now.
I give Nashville a ton of credit. BJ Callahan has gotten them after a first couple of weeks where they did not look good.
Nope.
I think that's been washed away with how good they've looked since, but they did not look good in the first couple of weeks. They didn't look good at the end of last season. He's turned it around. Now, is that because of the matchups? Is that just a good, nice run of form? We'll find out. Cincinnati's not 100%, though. This is a team that's kind of banged up. This is a team that I think is maybe still dealing with a little bit of the disappointment from getting knocked out of CONCACAF. They're not what they've been so far this season. And we had the conversation coming into it. You know, is Evander going to be able to replicate Luciano Acosta? And everybody pretty much said yes. I've been skeptical of that. I didn't really see anything up close, although they didn't have their normal group. Atlanta didn't have their normal group. I didn't see anything really up close to change my opinion of that last week. I don't know if they go to Nashville and get anything.
I've always felt like, okay, I've felt since day one that this is unfair to Evander because he's not the same player as Lucho. Is such
They're
a
so different.
Yeah, Lucho is such a unique player in this league's history. And can just do things that he just does Lucho things. I don't know what else to call it. He's just very unique. And asking Evander to be that guy isn't fair to him. It's more of, Evander, I need you to just come in and be Evander. And then for Cincinnati is adjusting to Evander being him. They are built to play around for so long what Lucho did.
Yeah.
But adjust what they're doing around Evander, and I think you'll get moments like we saw in those 15 minutes against Atlanta.
Yeah, but it was only 15 minutes.
I know, but I think they can expand on it if they can just kind of coalesce around it, but that's a big if.
Yeah,
I understand.
It's a big if. I think Nashville gets the win here. I think they're in a good spot right now, and they're more expansive than they've ever been. And I'm really curious to see how the fan base takes to that in Nashville, playing a more bold, aggressive style. I think it will help them. I think it will definitely get more attention over time and create more excitement. I think it's the right way to go.
All righty, speed round. We got three games at 10:30. We have LA Galaxy hosting Orlando.
Orlando goes on the road and gets the win, and it's because their designated players have delivered so far with Muriel and with Pasalic especially. I didn't expect either to be doing what they've been doing. Orlando goes to win. The Galaxy are just not the Galaxy at the moment.
The calls for Greg Vanney are going to be unfair, but they're going to be there.
They shouldn't be, and anybody who does that should be smacked in the face.
We have San Diego hosting LAFC.
Draw. I think LAFC has to look ahead to hosting Miami in the midweek in CONCACAF. I think San Diego is good enough at home to frustrate them. LAFC, I know a lot of people still are super impressed. I'm not. And I don't think they have enough at less than 100% to go to San Diego and get a win. They need to put all their eggs in the basket of CONCACAF and really go after that Miami series, which could be a lot of fun because it's a very good clash of styles.
I also don't know that LAFC is going to expand enough for San Diego to break them down. Like, LAFC is going
to sit there like draw. Yeah.
They're going to sit in their shell.
Yep.
Yeah. Then the last game of Saturday, 10:30, we have the Quakes hosting Seattle.
The Quakes have fallen off a little bit. And Seattle are trying to bring in Ryan Kent. How do you feel about that one, Jarrett?
I don't know what Ryan Kent has in the tank at this point. He was really good for Rangers a couple years ago, went to Fenerbahce, and just nothing really happened. He was at his best under Steven Gerrard at Rangers, but hasn't really reproduced it. I think the right manager can get a very solid player out of him.
I think Spetzer could be that guy. I think
would
he
not
could
be shocked.
Really... Yeah, I think he could really serve them well. It's not done yet, so we'll see. I wonder about Seattle on the road in this one, but San Jose has reverted back to form a little bit. I wonder if this is one of those games where Bruce Arena just goes into it and says, you know what, we haven't been playing great. We're not going to lose today. We might not win, but we're not going to lose today. I kind of got that vibe about it, so I will also go draw here.
On Sunday, we have two games at 2:15. We have St. Louis hosting Austin.
That should be a fun one. Austin found their offense last week, although they couldn't convert all the chances that they found.
Brandon Vasquez could have had 4 goals.
6, 8, 10. Like, he could have set a record. It was crazy. And
it was a FIFA game for Brandon Vasquez, and he just didn't finish.
It was. St. Louis has been one of the best defensive teams in the league this season. So it sets up for a really entertaining game, and I want to see that one. That's one that, in the West this weekend, that's one I'm really looking forward to on Sunday.
Then at 7 p.m. for Sunday Night Soccer, we have the Portland Timbers hosting the Houston Dynamo.
So if Jarrett's got the Quakes and Maddie's got the Rapids, I guess I've got the Dynamo, and I'm just still very Dayball, disappointed baby. In
very
the
disappointed.
Dynamo. I love what Ben Olsen, I love what he is as a coach. I loved what he was as a player. And it's just not quite happening for them at the moment. They have not won the season. You know, you lose Hector Herrera, you're a different locker room. Jack McGlynn, I think, will come good for them, but he's, like, from a present standpoint, he's not Hector Herrera. He can't be. He's like, half his age almost. So it hasn't quite hit yet. And does it hit in Portland, who has some momentum now? With Phil Neville getting the win in Colorado last week, are things turning for them with DaCosta getting more time? And he's trying to be Evander, even though he's not Evander. But he's got to be Evander plus to help this Timbers team. I think their change in goalkeeper has helped them as well. I think Portland probably gets the win here, and I'll still be disappointed.
All around disappointed. All around disappointed.
Whoever, like, if Portland is suffering Houston's first victory of the season, you're also going to start getting those whispers out in Portland.
I think those whispers, they went back to whispers last week after the win. They will get back to not quite bullhorn level, but maybe
casual conversation.
Maybe open conversation, like not trying to hide it.
Yeah. All right, going back to the game at 7:30, Atlanta United versus NYC. Really quick thoughts. What do y'all think?
I'm waiting to see the lineups. Keaton Parks, question mark. Mateusz Klich, question mark. Guys coming back from international duty in general are always question marks. Pedro Amador coming back after the birth of his first child, question mark. So a lot of those with these two teams that want to play a really similar way. Ronnie Dyla versus NYC, that's a storyline right there. I think it should be, and it feels like it typically is between these two clubs. It should be a really good game.
Yeah.
Really good game between two teams that want to play. So I'm looking forward to it.
Midfield for me is going to be interesting for Atlanta. We know Tristan's out for a couple weeks now. Klich getting healthy, Sleash coming back. But you have two kids in that midfield. Jay Fortune, who hasn't gotten as many minutes this year and hasn't just grabbed everything by the throat like he did last year. And then Will Riley, who put together an outstanding first ever performance last week. One of those kids is going to have to factor into the midfield in some way, shape, or form in this game. Who is it? And do they step up to the moment? And can they be that difference maker that maybe New York City doesn't have in the midfield if Keaton Parks isn't giving you as much?
Yep.
It's going to be a fun one on Saturday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. That's going to start at 7:30. 6:30, we're going to have the pregame show on 92.9 and the Odyssey app. Myself and Abe Gordon will take you through everything you need to know about the match. 7:30, a little bit afterwards, Mike Connie and Jason Longshore will hop on, and they'll give you the beautiful call of the match. And then post-game, it'll either be Abe Gordon, and it'll either be myself or Jarrett Smith, or both of us. Who knows? You know, we might.
There'd be no three-way way.
Who knows? We'll keep you guessing. You'll never.
You just have to wait and see what happens.
Wait to see what happens. We'll leave it there. But yeah, guys, that was another episode of MLS Six Pack here on the SDH Network. Thank you guys so much for listening. And we'll see you guys next week for more Major League Soccer chaos.